Live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP studios, this is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Well, good Friday morning, everyone. What a Friday it is. We've got a bang-up show for you this week before Christmas with Ryan Weaver, country superstar, joining us in just a minute. But before we bring him into the show, we're going to do a little bit of nixing the narrative. You know, that's what this show does best. We nix the narrative. We get rid of all that nonsense that you get from the MSN, the mainstream media, I should say. And here's what you need to know, because if you turned on the mainstream media today, you would see all sorts of stories about Vice President Pence getting a vaccine shot. You would see that, you know, they're all up in arms, clutching their pearls and asking for the vapors because some frat boys in North Carolina, well, my God, they're drug dealers. What frat boy isn't a drug dealer? Did none of you go to college? I don't know. But where are they when it comes to covering the big news? You know, the news that actually matters, like Hunter Biden. Wait. CBS showed us all. They showed us all that, you know, they're going to cover stories. They're going to put their top correspondent on the Hunter Biden story and actually talk to Vice President Biden about this. They're going to bring in Stephen Colbert.
Tonight, President-elect Biden is defending his son Hunter amid an investigation into the younger Biden's taxes. The president-elect and Dr. Jill Biden sat down with CBS's Stephen Colbert for an exclusive interview.
We have great confidence in our son. I am not concerned about any accusations been made against him. It's used to get to me. I think it's kind of foul play, but look, it is what it is. And he's a grown man. He is the smartest man I know. I mean, in pure intellectual capacity. And as long as he's good, we're good.
As a father, I understand that, and I admire that. But I mean, in terms of your job as president, can you reach across to the aisle to people who will be using this as an attack on you when it is such a personal attack because it's about family?
But if it benefits the country, yes, I really mean it.
You know what's infuriating to me? That CBS has the audacity to continue to treat Stephen Colbert, a comedian, as if he's a journalist. When I worked for CBS in 2016, I remember when we were covering the Republican National Convention, basically the only correspondent they sent there was Stephen Colbert. But he is a comedian, and that's who's going to ask the tough questions. That's how CBS is going to show that they're covering it. But you know, the other networks, they're not bothering to cover it at all. However, let's travel back in time to 2017 when all the media networks, all they could do was cover Don Jr., the president's son, and his potential dealings with Russia.
What do you get when you cross a Russian, an email, and an idiot?
Explosive and very fast moving developments in the Russian meddling.
Major breaking news.
The very latest bombshell.
Breaking and stunning news in our politics lead today. The release of an email chain from last June between Donald Trump Jr. and this man, Rob Goldstone.
On its face, this is information that supports the allegation or the idea of collusion between the Trump campaign, or potential collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government.
Oh, cursed irony!
Cursed irony indeed. Because see, back then they cared about emails an awful lot. Back then they cared an awful lot about a laptop. Back then they cared a lot about a whole bunch of stuff, which right now, because it's a Democrat, they don't give a rat's patoot at all. In fact, when we were talking about money being exchanged and foreign nationals being involved with Don Jr., they were just up in arms.
The fact that this person was a Russian attorney linked to the Kremlin, does that make a difference?
It makes a very big difference. It is illegal for a foreign national to
spend any money or to attempt to influence U.S. elections. And it's illegal for a campaign to accept any type of help or assistance from foreign nationals in elections.
If you do not disclose meetings with a foreign national, particularly a foreign national who's promising you some dirt in exchange for something, that's a big deal. That's not like leaving out an address that you had for 2 months in college on your SF-86 form. You're leaving out, it raises a number of eyebrows. It can result in an FBI counterintelligence investigation. I mean, it could get you locked up. So that's a very big deal.
So they say it could get you locked up and it's a very big deal. But you know what? They don't care about Hunter Biden and they don't care about Swalwell. In fact, the New York Times has yet to cover the Swalwell story. We've seen zero coverage of it on any of the mainstream media networks. And this was a guy who was allegedly canoodling with a spy while he was on the Intelligence Committee. Are you kidding me? Fartgate got more coverage than Swalwell and the spy.
Chris, so far the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
complaint that I've heard from Republicans.
There you go. The fart. The fart heard around the world got coverage for days on end. But Swalwell and the spy and being on the Intelligence Committee, it doesn't mean anything. You guys forget, this guy ran for freaking president. This guy ran for president on the fact that he was on the Intelligence Committee and he knew the truth about the Mueller report. Don't believe me? Let's roll the tape.
I'm day one ready. I've been in Congress for 7 years, and I've shaped Washington more than it's shaped me. I've led a group effort to bring more young members to Congress. We have over 50 members in their 40s and under, so I see a moment to seize. But I'm also on the House Intelligence Committee, one of only three people in the House that has the deepest access to the Mueller report. I know the threat this president is to our country. I'll be ready to lead on day one.
Oh, he knows the threat? He knows the threat to this country? My God, he was the threat. He was the threat. But see, this is what you can expect from the mainstream media. They will cover the heck out of a Republican with any accusation. Doesn't even need verifiable proof. But a Democrat always gets a pass. Need more proof? How many people in the mainstream media have covered Governor Cuomo's sexual misconduct allegation? Well, ABC hasn't, NBC hasn't, CBS hasn't. But you know what? This isn't the first time that there's been sexual misconduct claims. The only people who are covering it are the locals in New York. Take a look.
But nevertheless, you did have it going on within your own administration, allegedly, with Sam Hoyt. What could you do differently to, you know, kind of pick up on that?
Well, if you have it going on in journalism.
Yeah, I know.
What are you going to do differently? But the question is about state government.
Yeah, it's about state government. I could tell you later in great detail about that if you're interested.
You and journalism. And it's about you in journalism, and it's about state government, and it's about carpentry.
Is your administration going to do anything differently?
Yeah, I heard about the tweet and what it said about comments that I had made. And it's not true, Zach. Look, I fought for and I believe a woman has the right to come forward and express her opinion. And express issues and concerns that she has. But it's just not true.
Okay, it's just not true. So let's just not cover it because, I mean, he said it's not true. I mean, when Biden's sexual misconduct came up, they said it just wasn't true either. So let's just not cover it. But let me go back in time. Listen, I've been doing TV news now since the year 2000, and I've covered a lot of sexual misconduct of politicians over the years, and we always cover it. We just don't seem to cover it anymore. Oh, and we generally only cover it when it comes to, Republicans. Take a look
at this. Allegation of sexual misconduct against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
Court claims that a drunken Kavanaugh groped her and tried to pull off her clothing at a house party in the 1980s.
Explosive allegations against Donald Trump. In one night, at least four women come forward claiming they were sexually assaulted by Trump.
All of a sudden, his hands were all over me.
Several women have come forward accusing Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore of sexual misconduct.
Mr. Moore reached over and began groping me. Him putting his hands on my breast.
Jane Doe number 5 went public with her extraordinary allegation that she was sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton 21 years ago.
And then all of a sudden, he turned me around and started kissing me.
New questions tonight about the character and judgment of Clarence Thomas one night before the Senate votes on his nomination to the Supreme Court.
He spoke about acts that he had seen in pornographic films.
On several occasions, Thomas told me graphically of his own sexual prowess.
Oh, my God. I mean, if you are a Supreme Court nominee or if you're a Republican, we will cover the crap out of you. We will cover the crap out of every allegation, whether it's true or false, and we will act if it's true. But if you're a Democrat accused of sexual misconduct, I'm looking at you, VP Biden. I'm looking at you, Cuomo. It's,
I don't know. I mean, he said it wasn't true. So I guess it wasn't true. Not worthy of covering.
Okay, there you go. So what does the media actually cover? Well, not much unless it's on the liberal agenda. Because see, remember back in 2017, the media was beside itself with all of the fraud that happened in the general election. I mean, Rachel Maddow spent entire segments on it saying she's got questions.
There was the straight up hacking effort by Russia to try to penetrate local and state election systems all over the country, mostly targeting voter registration rolls. We still don't have a clear sense of why they did that, what they did with the access that they gained through that attack, what they were trying to do, whether that might have been laying the groundwork for something in the future. I'll say just personally, I find it mildly distressing that under the Trump administration, the Department of Homeland Security doesn't seem overly interested in investigating what the consequences were of that hacking attack and whether U.S. election systems might be compromised in a way because of that attack that we may not learn about until that effect is sort of actuated sometime in the future. But that pure hacking effort going after state and local elections software and elections infrastructure, that was the first part of the Russian attack.
Okay. So she has a real big concern with the Russian attack on local and state elections. But you know what? In a Senate hearing this week, we heard directly about all of the fraud that happened in the state of Nevada, and no one says boo. They just all say it's fake. Watch this.
Over 42,000 people voted more than once. Our experts were able to make this determination by reviewing the list of actual voters and comparing it to other voters with the same name, address, and date of birth. At least 1,500 dead people are recorded as voting, as shown by comparing the list of male voters with the Social Security death records. More than 19,000 people voted even though they didn't live in Nevada. This does not include military voters or students. About 8,000 people voted from non-existent addresses. Over 15,000 votes were cast from commercial or vacant addresses.
So all of that alleged voter fraud doesn't matter one iota. Now, I want to bring in my co-host for the day, country singer Ryan Weaver, and I want to get your reaction to all of this, Ryan. And I also want to ask you about the election fraud, because I will be, as a Nevadan, I will be the first to admit that the MVGOP, they screwed up that lawsuit. The way that they did it, the way that they presented it, what they were asking for was ridiculous. But they found all of this fraud, all of these double votes. No one seems to care at all.
I just don't understand it, quite honestly. Obviously, we're all following what's happening with this election very, very closely. And I'm a fact person. I'm a fact-driven person. When someone's presenting those kind of facts out there that are irrefutable, that are real, it seems as if the left and the mainstream media preferred to have fake headlines to drive the narrative as opposed to listening to the facts in this situation. And my question is, why has this not been why are we not doing something with this massive amount, this massive amount of fraud that's going on out there?
I have no idea. And it's destroying election integrity. And so the media could for 4 years, basically, report on Russian interference, Russia collusion, but they just can't even find the time to report on Biden, Swalwell, or any of the voter fraud that happened in this last election. It doesn't matter to them.
It seems as if, you start presenting the truth and the truth just disappears, is swept under the rug. But like I said, sensationalism and selling ads seem to be the way that the left has gone with their reporting, quote unquote, their journalism. It doesn't matter whether it's true. Just post that headline and people are going to click it and the advertisers are going to pay for it.
They absolutely are, and they've been doing that with COVID too. And so in the next block, we're going to talk a lot about what's been going on in the world of COVID all around the country. So stay with us. Give me a minute and listen to a little Ray Charles before the break saying, Merry Christmas, baby, to you.
Merry Christmas. Christmas, baby. I say you sure did treat me nice.
How many times has this happened to you? You're driving with your purse, your laptop bag, your grocery bag, or your backpack in the seat next to you, and it's on the floor after you stop or hit a quick turn. Well, we experienced this issue too, and we created a solution. Introducing Bagmodo, an easy-to-install, one-step process that fits seamlessly under any standard headrest and stores securely under the headrest. Bagmodo becomes a natural extension of your vehicle and helps stop your stuff from falling on the floor. Now you can secure your items systematically and effortlessly, keeping you from being a distracted driver, which, let's face it, is a huge problem these days. Bagmodo is the ultimate driver-centric product that doesn't distract drivers and helps keep everyone in the vehicle safe. For more information, go to bagmodo.com. That's bagmodo.com. Bagmodo, the easy-to-install, one-step process to stop your stuff.
I mean, nothing quite says Christmas like Pee Wee Herman doing the Pee Wee dance while Grace Jones sings Little Drummer Boy. I mean, if that didn't put you in the Christmas spirit, I don't know what would put you in the Christmas spirit. It certainly put me in the Christmas spirit. That's my Pee Wee. It's not a good Pee Wee, Ryan. Ryan Weaver, can you do a better Pee Wee Herman impression, Ryan?
I'm not going to try it. I'm not going to try it. Based off his reputation, I think I'll stay out of that one.
Oh, Pee-wee was good, clean fun back in the day, although he wasn't very good or clean back in the
off stage, he had a little bit of an issue, yeah.
He sure did. In those movie theaters. Golly gee willikers. All right, we're all dealing with COVID, you, me, and everybody in between. And I have just, my heart has been breaking for all of the small business owners who've just been in this. They haven't gotten anything, any faith, anything to help them. In my hometown of Danville, California, there are so many restaurants that are just defying the system and they're staying open, which made it really infuriating to me this week when courts in San Diego said, you know what? These bars that have strippers, they can be open because those strippers, gosh darn it, strippers need to work. I mean, strippers are people too. Isn't that what they told us on American Dad?
Yeah.
What?
How can you make a decision between a small family-owned restaurant that has spent their entire life trying to live the American dream, choosing between that and choosing between a strip club? I mean, the decision seems like it's so easy, right? Let's choose strippers because they're people too. This is sarcasm, by the way.
No, I think we should choose the strippers as well as we choose every restaurant, as well as we choose the churches, as well as we choose everything, because that's what freedom of speech is. But Now it's kind of gross in that you can't go to church in California and you can't run your business in California, but the bars can do it because, well, those strippers need money. But what about everybody else who needs money? What about everybody else? That was the funny thing about that clip from American Dad. Do we have it, Spence? It just kind of, it says it all.
I'll tell you what's not funny. Killing strippers. Strippers are people too.
That's right. Strippers are people too. And we want to make sure that they have the rights. But I want all of these business owners to have their rights too. Because one of the things that I'm really frustrated with is I'm very angry with the way the media and the elitist snowflakes and the liberals have determined who is essential and who isn't.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, what is the decision-making process? That's what I want to know. What are they using to decide some of the just crazy things that they're putting out that there's no logic to it. It doesn't even make sense to me. As a normal human being with half of a brain, how could you listen to this and say, yeah, I think that's the way that it should be. Essential workers, let's make strippers essential workers, and the truckers that are out there, you know, with their small businesses that they can't go into and stop off at a restaurant to be able to get a meal, you know, that they may be traveling on the, my logic, you notice that I just went way out there and didn't make sense, right? Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. There is no logic. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Well, I'm just frustrated that Tom Cruise is essential because Tom Cruise and his little COVID rant, he's essential. You know, all the politicians are essentials. All the athletes are essentials. And really, you know, people who work in grocery stores, they're essential. Doctors are essential. But what they're really saying to us is if you're rich and famous, or if you've got a low income job and you're a minimum wage job, you're essential. But everyone else in between, yeah, not so much. You don't matter. You're a lawyer, you're a realtor, you're a gym owner. Yeah, you don't matter.
Does it seem to me, or to you, it does to me, that it's positions of power that they're saying are essential? That
why should Tom Cruise have a position of power?
I mean, I'm probably going to get hit for this one, but the Scientology world has a significant amount of power. I'm originally from West Central Florida, and I'm very familiar with the Clearwater area. And the Scientology world has a great deal of power in a lot of different realms a lot of folks don't want to know about. There's a special about that on television that my wife and I've been watching. So it's pretty incredible to watch.
I saw there's a Scientology special on Netflix, but I haven't checked it out yet. That the chick who used to be on King of Queens is kind of exposing everything there. Is that the special you're talking about?
It is. And there's so many. I mean, it's season after season after season where she does investigative and factual reporting on the Scientology. So that may be why, you know, the powers that be that are making the decisions think that Tom Cruise is an essential worker as opposed to, you know, small American businesses that are the backbone of this economy and are being shuttered daily.
But the big problem that I have with all of that, and I want to tell you a little story here, is that we're kind of being forced by the media and the politicians who are determining who's elite, who's not elite, who's essential, who's non-essential, that, you know, we're all dying with these death numbers. Whenever you look on a TV screen, there's how many people died today, but we don't even know if those numbers are accurate. Get this, in Colorado, I'm going to read this from CBS4 in Ground County, Colorado, over in the Denver area. The Ground County coroner is calling attention to the way the state health department is classifying deaths. The coroner says that they've had 5 COVID-19 related deaths, but it turns out that two of those COVID-19 deaths were actually a murder-suicide. So Ryan, answer me this. How is a murder-suicide by gun, where both were shot by guns, how is that a COVID-19 death?
Well, there was something that I don't know if you saw it come out it was last week, where the czar of testing, COVID testing, was talking about incentivizing folks to get that second shot, incentivizing the corporations or incentivizing the people, really was unclear for getting that second COVID shot. It's all about if the government is going to say, hey, if you classify a suicide or a murder or whatever, if they have tested positive for COVID or maybe not, and we're going to incentivize you for having that number in your hospital. And I mean, hospitals, they need money too. So I guess it's, you know, a crooked way of being able to do it. I don't know. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. And there's something that I on social media, I'm on Don Jr.'s page all the time, and I get hate like nobody's business because I want people to present facts. You know, the statistics on COVID deaths, and the 7 of the top 10 states with just 34% of the population of the United States at one time, up until recently, held almost 50% of all the U.S. deaths that were out there, and just 34% of the population. Would you be willing to bet that those states with seven of the top 10%, or excuse me, top 10, are Republican or Democrat-run states with the most stringent mask mandates and restaurant closings and those kind of things? Who out there be willing to bet on which side that is? I'm just saying.
Oh, it's so obvious that it's going to be the liberals, the liberal states, because it's the blue states that are the ones that are also saying, I love this. I saw the New York Times and a bunch of doctors come out and say this too. Oh, even if you get the vaccine, that doesn't mean you stop wearing a mask. Even if you've had both your shots, you know, because you could still be asymptomatic and spread it to somebody. They are basically setting us up to say, you got to wear a mask forever. You got to get our shot. shots. You got to get this. You got to do what we say all the time. In Minnesota, we have a bar owner who's a single mom of four kids who the attorney general is looking to throw her in jail this week for keeping her bar open. And then my favorite, you've got Representative Omar from Minnesota. Are we going to be able to show that picture of that tweet? Spence is going to pull up this tweet. This is what she tweeted this week. It's absolutely ridiculous. Let's put it up on the screen. She says, my father and over 300,000 people have lost their lives because of dangerous criminal neglect by Trump and his administration. It's not enough to just issue subpoenas. We have to investigate and prosecute the people responsible. So now, because her daddy died, and I don't hate the woman. Her dad died, and I feel for her. But she thinks Trump is somehow responsible for that, and that's nowhere near true. How are you going to hold Trump responsible for these things? It's absolute ridiculousness.
I agree with you 100%. Here's a question that I have for everybody that's out there. And if you can answer this question, you know, with a yes, I think that you probably need to relook the way that you're thinking about who's responsible for this. So does anyone out there, have you forgotten when President Trump said that he was going to get involved with state responses, failed state responses to COVID, and the state legislators said, leave us alone. We don't want to, this is our state and we're going to run our states how we want to. Has anybody forgotten that? If you can say yes, you need to really, I mean, that was a huge thing. It was just like law and order. It was just like all the things that when, you know, things were going crazy in Portland and Seattle, you name it. When Trump said that he was going to get involved with failed state COVID responses, which, by the way, they've had 100% control of county by county of their own COVID responses, they told him to leave them alone. It just makes it's easy to deflect the blame onto one man as opposed to looking in the mirror and realizing that you voted for failed policies and failed politicians and say that you've made the mistake.
Exactly. And it's because of him that we have that vaccine. You know, NBC, CBS, they all said it was fantasy, pure fiction. It was going to be a miracle if we had a vaccine by the end of the year. Here we have it. And when you look at all the states that have had massive shutdowns, like California, like New York, cases continue to go up, like Nevada, cases continue to go up. The shutdowns don't help. Yet Florida's just fine. Texas is just fine. South Dakota is just fine. And it's absolutely infuriating that no one has common sense anymore. No one has one iota or ounce of common sense. No one asks the hard questions, and people just spoon feed whatever the mainstream media gives them, and they never, ever, ever question it. And it drives me insane. All right. We've got more media bashing to do, my friends, in the next block. In fact, the media was beside themselves because they say that we're going to have our very first LGBTQ cabinet member. Oh, how quickly they forget everything Donald Trump does. So stay with us after the break. We're going to talk about that and so much more.
The feeling's here that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is a nonprofit organization based in Las Vegas, determined to meet the needs of any and every person who wants mobility and independence. Any child, teen, or adult who needs a wheelchair but can't afford one can get one today from the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation. The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is meeting the needs for those who need it most. And right now, the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation needs your help. With the holidays here, they want to bless everyone they can with wheelchairs for a better life. Partner with them today to make mobility dreams come true. Donate now at wheelchairfoundation.org or call 702-847-6250. That's 702-847-6250. With almost 10,000 wheelchairs delivered across the state, the Wheelchair Foundation delivers hope, mobility, and independence.
Want to learn to scuba dive? Need swimming lessons for your kids? Then you need to check out Stone Sports in Las Vegas, right off Fort Apache in Tropicana. At Stone Sports, they teach the young and the young at heart. Whether you're looking for fun, fitness, or competition, Stone Sports is the place for you and your entire family. Give them a call today at 702-779-3021, 702-779-3021, or check them out online at stonesports.net. Stone Sports, where water safety and water fun meet.
Snowing and blowing up, beaches are fun.
This video cracks me up. I absolutely love it. Hall & Oates, who knew they had a funny side to them? I think they were popular in the 80s. I'm not so sure. But that's a funny video, and we need a little humor in this day and age, because I swear to you, everyone has lost their cotton-picking minds. Today, I have a guest host with me, Ryan Weaver, country sensation. And I just wanted to, real quickly before we start talking about the media once again, I wanted to mention that yesterday was a significant anniversary for you and your family. Please tell us more about that, Ryan.
Well, I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about something that means a great deal to me and my family. But we are a two-time Gold Star family, and yesterday was the anniversary of my brother Randy Billings, his death in Afghanistan. He was piloting a Black Hawk when an IED took the tail boom off the Black Hawk, and a passenger in the back of the aircraft survived, was ejected from the aircraft, but Randy perished that day, and we became a two-time Gold Star family. I was on my Instagram at Ryan Weaver Country. If you guys want to check it out, I posted a little bit of a video yesterday. You'll get to see real quick how real I like to be. But thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about Randy today.
Absolutely. Your family and has served so much, and you've served our country. And we just want to honor the amazing veterans that have served this country. And a veteran who is getting a lot of coverage right now is Pete Buttigieg. I always have a hard time saying his name. I don't know why my mouth does not want to say it correctly. But of course, the media was beside itself yesterday talking about him. Let's roll the tape.
President-elect Biden plans to nominate his one-time primary rival, former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, to lead the Department of Transportation. Now, if confirmed by the Senate, Buttigieg would make history as the nation's first openly gay cabinet secretary.
President Donald Trump announces Richard Grenell, the current U.S. ambassador to Germany, will become acting director of national intelligence.
And in his new role, Grenell becomes the first openly gay member of President Trump's cabinet.
Oh, isn't that funny? So they all keep talking about how, you know, Buttigieg is going to be the very first openly gay. They totally forgot about poor Rick Grenell. They totally forgot about him. And if you're sitting there at home going, but why? What does Buttigieg have going for him that he should be the transportation secretary? Well, you know what? He did a bang up interview with NPR. Spence, put up that picture so I can read it. It's a direct quote of why he's super stoked, just super excited to be a part of the transportation secretary one day. Do you have that for me? Oh, okay. I can't see it though. So it said something to the effect that, you know what, when he was a kid, he's ridden trains and that he proposed to Chasten in an airport. What? That's why he's qualified to be the Secretary of Transportation? I guess so. So Ryan, my question to you, how on earth could they have forgotten about Rick Grenell? And number two, is he qualified?
Well, I will say this. They didn't forget about him. They intentionally omit those kind of things because, God forbid, they give Trump any kind of positive, you know, headline, any kind of positive statement there. They're going to intentionally, I like to call it selective memory, I guess you would say. But as far as qualifications are concerned, I mean, hey, if you want to say that your personal relationships are what qualify you for a professional job, I'm sure that there are a lot of us out there who could be CEOs of companies right now with absolutely no experience whatsoever, but they got great relationships going, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's absolutely ridiculous to me, though, that they forgot and they disregard Rick Grenell simply because he is a Republican. But my gosh, that is what the liberals do. In fact, the liberals speak out of both sides of their mouth constantly and no one seems to care. I don't know if you saw the Glamour article that was written this week where the next White House Deputy Chief of Staff, Lynn O'Malley Dillon, called all us Republicans effers. Did you hear that? I had to take out the bad letters of that word, you know, F.
Yeah.
Bleep, bleep, bleep. Yeah, that's what she called us. That was super unifying, right, Ryan?
Well, I will say that, you know, the 4+ years that we've been attacked, that we've been called racist, xenophobic, misogynist, you name it. I've been called every name in the book on social media just because of the color of my skin. It's been ridiculous. They're showing their true colors and they're going to continue to be the same way. And they're on the wrong side of history when it comes to trying to attack conservatives in the way that they've done it. And they seem to have ramped it up now that Biden supposedly has won the election.
Yeah. And the geniuses over on The View, kind of kill me because they are.
Can't stand that show.
I know. I mean, Joy Behar, Whoopi Goldberg, all of them. There's some other chick that no one has ever heard of before on the show. They constantly say, you know, well, Trump started all this. And how are these Republicans having faux outrage over her using the F word? Listen, I don't think you care that she used the F word. I don't care that she used the F word. What I care about is the fact that, you know, if you call a liberal a snowflake, they have heart palpitations and need to clutch their pearls. And they will say that you are speaking hate speech, but they can say that we're efforts that they don't want to work with. And that's totally cool.
The thing is, once again, you look at what they're saying. I mean, they've been attacking for 4+ years. As soon as he came down that escalator, the attacks were just incessant and they haven't stopped. If I could show everybody the messages that I get daily on Instagram that come into my page from strangers who have no idea who I am, they're just foaming at the mouth to be angry about something. And it just to say that, oh, they should be okay with that. Imagine just every time I say that, put the shoe on the other foot, put the shoe on a conservative's foot and tell me if you're going to respond the same. They absolutely would not.
They absolutely would not. And you know, we've got proof of that as well. You know me, I always got a video. And so I've got a video to show you. And this is just a brief compilation of how the media has covered first ladies. Of course, because earlier this week, everyone had their panties in a bunch because a columnist decided to say Joe Biden should get rid of doctor in her name. I'm just going to give you a brief contrast of how they're covering, you know, Dr. Jill Biden right now and how they've covered Melania Trump the whole darn time.
I've seen referring to the future first lady, who has a doctorate in education and 2 master's degrees, as kiddo, asking, any chance you might drop the doctor before your name? Dr. Jill Biden sounds and feels fraudulent, not to say a touch comic. Former First Lady Michelle Obama saying those comments strike to the heart of what women have been hearing for years. Sharing on Instagram, we're all seeing what also happens to so many professional women, whether their titles are doctor, miss, missus, or even first lady. All too often, our accomplishments are met with skepticism, even derision. Hillary Clinton firing back. Her name is Dr. Jill Biden. Get used to it. And the soon-to-be second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, writing, this story would never have been written about a man.
There were some really dark, harsh criticisms out there. Congressman Bette Midler, who has attacked this administration before, obviously, the performer attacked Melania over her accent. She is being highly criticized for what some say was a xenophobic attack on Melania. Oh, God, she tweeted, she still can't speak English.
So this from the New York Times, Howie, that talks about her modeling career, referring to her as a mannequin instead of a model. Focusing on the salacious moments in her modeling career, and then writing that were it not for her husband's presidential aspirations, she might resemble that of any number of trophy spouses in New York. Really?
All right. So see, there you go. The media just completely unfair. They clutch their pearls and say, you know, call her doctor. Don't call her kiddo. Yet they don't have a problem calling Melania a mannequin, saying it would be our greatest joy if she left Donald Trump and divorced him. They don't care about any of that, Ryan.
There are so many amazing causes that are out there in support of women empowerment. I mean, there's so many amazing causes out there. Why does it seem that every single time it comes to women empowerment from the left, it only matters if they are on the left? It makes all these causes that you continuously see out there about women empowerment, the Me Too movement, all the different things that are supporting women, when it's only a one-sided issue, you know, you have to be a liberal to be part of that movement. It doesn't stand for every woman that's out there. I mean, Melania is the example of the American dream. She's the example of what it means to become successful and work hard for it, become educated, and rise to the first lady position in these great United States of ours. I just don't understand why. You just heard from 3 different liberal ladies and first ladies, you know, past, but you didn't hear anything from any conservative first ladies. None of it makes sense to any of it. Not at all.
It doesn't make any sense, and it drives me crazy. And as a woman who has been in media her whole life and has also run for office, I can tell you this. One of my biggest frustrations is people constantly downplay me because I'm a woman. You know, I wasn't as good as all men candidates. You know, a male candidate, even though he's an 8-time loser and has never won an election, he's obviously better because he's a man. We do discredit women all the time, but it seems like we can only do that to Republican women, just like we only go after Republican men when they commit something wrong, but Democrats men get away with it. I am just infuriated that no one else sees the hypocrisy of it all.
Absolutely. I mean, think about what Ivanka's done for this country, what she's done for women and children in the human trafficking world, and just all of the international work that she's done to be able to support women and minorities and children. I mean, just if you think about all of the things that she's accomplished, but all you hear is that, you know, well, your dad is this and your dad is that. Well, how about you look at her as being her own woman in this regard, in the same circumstance that would apply to her mom, you know, or Melania, excuse me. And what the hypocrisy has no bounds.
No, and Vanity Fair, when they would do stories on Ivanka, there was one headline Vanity Fair did where Ivanka and her dad were getting together to see how many people they could kill with COVID-19. And then they do a story on Hunter Biden and they go, he's getting ready for an art show, even in the midst of his investigation about his taxes. It's absolute ridiculousness. All right, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wow you with some what the what, and we got a ton of what the what to share with you today. You aren't going to want to miss it, so stick with us through the commercial break. Wondering if now is the time to buy or sell a home, or is a market crash on the way? At Home, a real estate company, John Kennedy and his team will make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. Home is where the heart is, and John Kennedy and his team are ready to lead you home. Give them a call today at 702-640-0101 or visit them at homerealestatecompany.com.
Ladylikeclothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. Ladylikeclothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at ladylikeclothing.com.
Looking to sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605. License number 179020.
Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen, and if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friends at Therapy Blocks LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Blocks LLC is veteran-owned and operated, and many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic. It also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learn about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on the Michelle Mortensen Show.
Oh, a little Melakaliki Maka. I should have had Elvis in the beginning of this block because I do a pretty good Elvis. Blue Christmas. And I'm sure Ryan does a really good Blue Christmas, or a good Elvis impression, I say. Do you, Ryan?
I can do a little bit of that, baby.
There you go. My biggest regret when I worked in Memphis for an ABC affiliate out there is I never went to Graceland. I've still never seen it. And I lived out there for like a year and a half, and I've never went. It's a huge regret of mine.
Yeah, I got to make that trip myself. I haven't done it yet either.
Oh, you haven't done it either.
Well, I've been to Memphis, but I've never been to Graceland. I've heard that the area around that is a bit sketchy, but I've heard.
Memphis is a little rough. Yeah, Memphis is a little rough, but it's all right. It's all right. Well, you know what time it is? It's time for What the What? And these are the craziest, weirdest stories of the week. Now, we're having a little bit of a video issue here, but our first story is going to be about Sophie Turner. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones, you know who that is. Did you watch Game of Thrones, Ryan?
Oh, yes. I actually have all of the bourbons or the whiskeys in the collection for Game of Thrones, the 7 of those things. I collected them.
Oh, okay. So you're like a super fan. You're like hardcore.
We were pretty hardcore on it.
All right. So you know who Sophie Turner is. She's now married to Joe Jonas, and she gave birth in July of this year. And she went on her Instagram to spill some tea and told everyone, if I can wear a mask while giving birth, you can wear a mask to Walmart. What do you think about that?
Good on you. It's your choice if that's what you want to do. I mean, the science doesn't match the safety, as they're calling it. But yeah, it's as an American, that's your choice. But don't impose that on everybody else.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. I totally agree with you. Now, Snoop Dogg also making a bunch of news. I was going to actually show you the clip because it's amazing, but it looks like we shouldn't right now. But Snoop Dogg kind of was asked about what he thought about Cardi B and her WAP song, which is a dirty song. And while Snoop is in no way someone I would call, the beacon of modesty and traditional values, in an interview, he basically said, you know what, y'all need to keep that under wraps and don't be like, you know, putting your WAP out there for the world to see. So Snoop Dogg, the voice of reason this time?
You know, I love when left and right can find common ground and as far as their ideals and the way that they feel about things. And it's actually refreshing to see Snoop Dogg get out there and throw some conservative values out there.
I'm just impressed with Snoop Dogg, period, because he's always relevant. He always finds a way to be relevant. He always finds a way to be in the story. He's always
Kanye in it, right?
Right. He's like a Kanye, and he's got his gin and juice. And every time I go on YouTube, he's got his Vivinet commercial where he's sitting with the dude who, you know, skateboards with cranberry juice. Why he's famous, I don't even know. But, you know, he is somehow. I don't know. Let's talk about Santa, can we? Can we talk
yes,
about Santa?
Please.
I was going to talk about the Santa Smackdown, but we can't show you that video. So I thought I'd go right to, I want to show you this picture of Santa in a gilded Cinderella carriage. Because right now they're trying to say that, you know, if we have, did you pull up that picture or did you not get it? Okay, we got the picture. All right. The picture is up. Santa, you can't meet him because of the era of COVID. In fact, they're really pushing at a lot of malls now to do Zoom meetings with Santa. Zoom with Santa to the tune of $750, Ryan.
Holy smokes. They could go to the mall and do it for free with masks on, right? If they're not social distancing, right? I mean, don't you sometimes have to pay to go sit on Santa's lap and have him tell you that he can't bring you a Nerf gun?
You do usually have to pay. And yes, we did show that last week with the guy who wouldn't give the freaking Nerf gun. What a pick off. But, you know, there is this case also in Georgia, though, where Santa was maskless and he gave COVID to like 60 of the people who were there because both Santa and Mrs. Claus, who weren't wearing their masks in Georgia, were diagnosed with COVID the next day.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So maybe they need to social distance a little bit. That's all I can think of. And you know what? We're going to do the video for this one, Spence. Maybe in order to social distance, we should have a social distancing sweater. The folks over safe something or another have come up with one. Let's show that video.
Remind your family you're happy to see them, but happier 6 feet apart.
Oh yeah, it's a sweater that alarms go off if you get too close. Sweater. It's ugly.
Happy holidays to all.
But maybe it's necessary. What do you think, Ryan?
Simply safe night.
Well, I mean, I always enjoyed the picture of the guy wearing his underwear on his face with a big skid mark. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but that would keep everybody from you as well. I mean, I dig that sweater for sure. You can set off a few alarms and get everybody upset at you and all that and say, well, I'm just doing what I'm told to do.
Exactly. All right. Are you a Pepsi or are you a Coke person?
I'm a Coke Zero person, actually.
Yeah. I think Pepsi's super gross, but Pepsi is trying to get in the holiday spirit. Let me show you this. They have Cocoa Pepsi now. It's like hot cocoa Pepsi, chocolate Pepsi to get in the holiday spirit. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Are you a Mountain Dew person by chance?
I am not. Not at all.
Not a Mountain Dew either. I think it's super gross. But just in time for the holidays, they did come out with the Dew cookbook. And in it, they have all sorts of recipes that you can do, that you can make Mountain Dew with. And people have been making the recipes and they say it's absolutely nasty. It's like pouring Mountain Dew on your chicken fingers or your salad. Just truly, 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 truly gross. What do you think about 2020? Has it been a great year? Are you looking forward to bringing in 2021?
2020 has been kind of a double-edged sword for me. I actually had COVID at the beginning of all of this, was tested positive for it. Wouldn't have known I had anything had I not lost a sense of smell. As a musician and public speaker, I do motivational speaking, and as an artist touring, obviously, on the concerts, I've had one event this entire year. So there are a lot of folks that are out there struggling from the shutdowns and whatnot. But for me, it's given me an opportunity to reconnect. My wife and I usually travel in opposite directions, so it's been awesome for us to be able to reconnect with each other, and our friendship, has grown. A lot of folks are figuring out that they don't get along with their significant other because they're stuck in the house with them all the time. And Kara and I, we've actually become much better friends during this time, so it's been awesome.
That's awesome. Well, for those of you who don't really like 2020, you may want to watch Las Vegas's festivities on New Year's Eve. Of course, no one can be on the strip, nothing like that. But the Las Vegas Visitor and Convention Authority is going to be blowing up 2020 as we bring in 21. They're going to have a big 2020 sign and they are going to ignite it. They're going to implode it, actually, and blow it up on live TV just to say good riddance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm here for it. I think it's all right. I'm down with it. I'm ready for 2020 to be over as well. All right. Well, Ryan, to get us in the Christmas spirit, I was hoping that maybe you would sing a song for us. So you kindly agreed before the show. So I'm going to let you go get ready to sing a song for us to kind of get us in the Christmas spirit. As many people know, we do Christmas karaoke in the end of every show here in the month of December. I do want to let everyone know, though, if I may, that we do have a great show coming up for you on Monday that you aren't going to want to miss. Of course, you can always tune into the Michelle Mortensen show right here on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram. No, can't turn in on Instagram. I lied about that. At MichelleMortensen.com and wherever you stream your favorite shows, podcasts, or on the radio on KSHP. We are so glad to have you here. I also want to give a big thanks to Spencer and everybody else in the show. So Ryan, we're going to let you go so we can go and do our closing song. Ryan is going to rock us with a little bit of Silent Night.
Let's do it. Let's finish off the show with some holiday cheer. We'll do Silent Night. How's that for you? Cool? All right, here it goes. Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Thank you.
holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts singing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy. Well, I hope you loved it. I sure had an awesome time on the show. Thank you so much for having me. You guys be safe.